Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for another great day. We praise you, Father, for what you're doing in us, Lord. We ask, Lord, that tonight you fill us up with your Holy Spirit. So much so, Lord, that there's nothing left but you. That's all we want is you. We can't have nothing else in it but you. That's all we want is you. And if we just have you, Lord, we're overcomers. And we can kick back in the rest of you. And I thank you for filling us all up, Lord. And I know it's not an instantaneous thing that we immediately come into a maturity once we get filled, but I know that it's a power that can't be denied. And Father, I thank you for the work that you're doing in us with by your Holy Spirit. And then you're going to lead us and guide us the whole way, Lord. Let everything that comes out of our mouth be only of you, Lord. And not only that, God, let our thoughts continually be on what your word says and what you tell us. And we thank you for that. Lord, let tonight be completely guided by you. And we thank you, Lord, that that's what's going to happen. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, I feel excited tonight. I do. I feel excited. Oh, God. Okay. All right. Now, Dave's got his number up there for the Saturday night prayer meeting. And hopefully Thursday night he'll do the same thing. And then hopefully Saturday night we'll have a prayer room to go to.
You got to say hopefully he'll be there.
Yeah, hopefully you'll be there, yeah. Well, you finally came on.
I fell asleep. I had took a nap, and I didn't hear anything. I thought, well, maybe I wasn't going to be on. We'll see if you're on. There everybody was. Where were you? Oh. All right. Amen.
No problem. No problem. We had a little bit of glitch, but not too long. We had a good time. Thank you, Lord. All right. Has anybody got any prayer requests? Yeah, Leon, go ahead, brother.
I was in the bathroom a little while ago with my foot up on the toilet. I was messing with my toe, and I put my foot down, and I hit my knee, well, just below my knee, on the countertop, and it is throbbing like a big dog, hurting.
Okay. For me? Yes, sir, we can. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, you get that. Leon is not under the curse. He don't have to put up with no pain. We command that pain and any kind of injury that is trying to put on him to go right now in the name of Jesus. We command that knee to be healed. We command the pain to go. And we command complete the healing in that knee in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Lord, just remind me next time, put it on a chair in the bedroom. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
There's good light in the bathroom.
Oh, okay. Well, it probably is. It probably is better. It's better in my bathroom too.
Yeah. Also, I got a bruise there, and I'm praying that it'll disappear quickly.
Amen. We believe with you. Thank you, Lord, that it's gone in Jesus' name. Woohoo! Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anybody else? Hi, Willie. Okay. Well, let's pray. Go ahead, Sam.
Well, I'm gonna just want to give the Lord a little credit today and praise and thank you. Because when I got up this morning, when I went to go to work, somebody in my car, probably me, I went to work.
You muted yourself by accident.
Okay, can you hear me now? Did you hear very far where I was going?
We heard the part about your car.
Okay. I got up in the morning. So I was getting ready to go to work. And I got everything in the car. And the minute I turned the ignition on and started, it started, but the lights came on immediately on the front. And it's like, oh, somebody left the lights on because they'd been on all night. And I got an older car. It's a 95 Toyota Corolla. And I don't think it's that smart to know that, hey, if you got the lights on, to turn off. I'll have to look it up, but I don't think it's that smart. And I'm just praising the Lord for starting my car, because the reason why I say that also, I have one of these little digital clocks on there. I mean, it's a small digital clock. So it comes on sometimes it doesn't. And it was set to 1 o'clock in the morning. I mean, it reset itself. So I'm thinking, well, I know darn well the power must not have been there, because if it dropped, you know, from my normal keeping time to one, something, it had a power glitch. So when I got in and started my car this morning, it started right up anyways, and the lights came on immediately. It told me I had left the lights on all night. So I'm just praising the Lord for allowing my car to start, and I know darn well there was a problem, because my clock was set at 1 o'clock in the morning when I still was like, here it is, like 5:45, you know. So anyways, I'm giving the Lord praise for and thanking him, just honor for starting my car and getting me started my day right.
Amen. Who is that? Hi, Missy. Where are you?
Hey. I'm in Walmart's parking lot.
Okay. Well, okay, is that the best place? I know you don't have any internet connection out there at Sandy.
Well, I know they're running low, so I was gonna go back, and then that hit me. I got on because I have a prayer request. I talked to Merle. So if I'm not interrupting somebody.
No. You go right ahead.
He told me, remember y'all, I told you about my brother-in-law, Herbie, that has Parkinson's and he has bone cancer. He's had bone cancer for 7 years now, and that they put him in the Veterans Hospital because his wife couldn't take care of him. And well, anyway, he got better enough. They put him in a nursing home, and that he could go home on like day visits, you know. And he went home, and Shirley, his wife, which is Merle's sister, started yelling at him and telling him no, he couldn't come home. And he said that. So this was Herbie. Herbie was called Merle and was telling him all this, and his one daughter said, you know, if anybody, whoever signs to release him, that they're gonna sue him or whatever. Anyway, it's just like all kinds of stuff going through Herbie's mind, wondering if Shirley has somebody else now, and all kinds of stuff. And he said he was, you know, he's about ready to cry, and Merle was half upset, and I was like, you know, getting half teary-eyed hearing him tell me about, it was hard to understand at times what Merle said that Herbie was telling him, and it's awful. She wouldn't let him stay, and apparently whoever took him home for a visit had to take him back to the nursing home, and so Merle and I prayed for him, and I was just like, just coming against the enemy, what the enemy's doing and dividing this family. And I said, Lord, I said to Merle, I said, Merle, we got to go see him. He says, I don't know where he's at. I said, well, that number that he called you on, tomorrow when you get home from work, please call and see if somehow you can get a hold of him and talk to him and find out where he's at. I mean, my thoughts is like, oh my gosh. I said, well, did you talk to any of your siblings? And Herbie doesn't want Merle to call anybody else. And doesn't, you know, and I'm like, we got to go see him. It's like, okay, I'm going to get home on tomorrow evening. You know, I want to traipse off and go find Herbie, you know, find out where he's at. And poor guy. And I'm like, Lord, I don't know if you know, if he's confused about anything that's going on or what, but, you know, I mean, it's like he didn't want Merle to call anybody or anything, you know, or even Shirley or anybody. I mean, he was just like so upset. And I've never known Herbie. He's always, he's never been to the point where he didn't make any sense or anything like that. I think maybe his thinking wasn't rational and thinking of, you know, the enemy comes in and says, well, this is going on and that's going on. But I think, what he was saying was probably, you know, the truth about what was going on with them not wanting him to go home and everything. But so anyway, having said all that, Merle and I already prayed, and I'd appreciate, Michael, if you would pray, according to what all I just told you. My heart goes out to him.
Well, let me ask you a question. Is he a Christian?
Yes.
Okay.
And I think he said that he even tried to go to the church, which is close by, that they've been going to, and couldn't get any help. I don't know if it was because nobody was there or what. I don't know. That wasn't absolutely clear, but yeah, he is. And I've always tried to encourage him, you know, Herbie, the Lord wouldn't heal you halfway and not do it all the way, you know?
Yeah.
And because there was one time when if you remember me telling before, he went up to take communion. Before he went to take communion, this was like, at least 7 years ago, probably more. He asked the Lord to touch him, and when he was up taking communion, he literally felt the Lord touch the side of his face. Awesome. You know, and then for a while, he was a lot better for the longest time. You know, he was really having a hard time getting around, you know, with the whole Parkinson's thing. And I think that was before he even found out he had the bone cancer. So yeah, and Merle was saying, I guess Herbie told him that when you know, the life expectancy, once you find out you have bone cancer, 7 years. Well, he's had it 7 years. And so anyway, I was praying off that spirit of death and cancer, and I just praying each, and you know, Merle was praying too. Just I was asking the Lord to comfort him, you know, Lord, your spirit's a comforter. And anyway, I'm done. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Well, did he let himself out of the nursing home, or did they turn him out, or what was?
He's allowed to sign out and sign back in, you know, sign out for a day and sign back in. I don't think it was that he did it on his own, against rules or anything like that, from what Merle told me.
Okay. All right. Well, let's pray. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Herbie T. We come against this, cancer. We come against all
Parkinson's,
and we cast it off for Herbie right now in the name of Jesus. And any confusion, we cast that out of his mind in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I don't know what's going on with his family, but you do. And I ask, Lord, that you expose whatever it is, if it's whatever it is, Lord. I ask that you give Herbie peace about it, and have him pray for his family. And Father, we just ask that you place it in Herbie's wife and his daughter to want to see Herbie and to want to have him back. We pray, Lord, that you do a mighty work in this family. Amen. We come against faction in that family right now. We cast it out in the name of Jesus. Any kind of divisive spirit, you go in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for giving Herbie a forgiving heart.
Amen. Yes.
For whatever comes. And we thank you, Father, that this is going to be a learning experience for Herbie, and it's also going to be a maturing experience for him. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that he'll open up his ears and his eyes, his spiritual ears and his spiritual eye, to understand what the Word of God says and not to get all upset over something, that just to trust you, Lord, to trust you implicitly. And Father, we thank you for it. And when Missy and Merle go up there to see him, Lord, I ask that you give them wisdom and the words to say that will comfort him. Not only comfort him, but give him strength and power to pray and to believe and to have the bold faith that it takes to get his family back together again. And we thank you, Lord, that you've healed him, that you've delivered him, and that you placed him in a place of rest, Father.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I want everybody to agree. I prayed this with Merle, but I want everybody to agree with me too, that Lord, you put it in his heart to pick up, get a Bible. I can't imagine that there's not a Bible that would be available to him, that if he even has to ask for one, Lord, put it in his heart to read your word and go to your word for comfort. You're speaking to him, that he knows that this is speaking. Your word is his spirit, your spirit and your voice speaking to him, Lord, and comforting him, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for putting that in him to do that, in Jesus' name.
Amen, Lord. We count it all as done, too.
Amen.
And we're going to hear the good report come Thursday night. We praise you for it, Father, already, because we know it's done, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, if it be your will, Lord, that we decide we need to go see Herbie, Lord, that if that means Merle has to call off work, that he would not hesitate to do that, Lord, to go see Herbie and make sure everything's all right with him, Lord, and to comfort him and minister to him. Thank you, Lord, for sending your spirit and to comfort him, but also someone to minister to him too, in Jesus' name.
Amen. We thank you for boldness in Merle, Lord. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. We're going to hear the good report come Thursday night.
Amen.
What are you doing? You backing up? Is that what I hear? Man.
No. I don't have a utility vehicle. It's a recreational.
Yeah.
It's a recreational activity vehicle.
Oh.
Okay.
All right. Okay. I'll take care of Missy. Hey, you have a safe trip tomorrow morning.
Okay. Thanks.
Let me pray for you first. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for her, all your protection upon Missy as she goes up. She's not going to have any trouble. It's going to be a quick trip in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for protecting Missy all the way up there. In Jesus' name. No problems, no trouble, no nothing. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Good gas mileage, Lord.
Yes, good gas
mileage. Even better than when I came down. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
Good timing, like when I came down. That was awesome, Lord.
Okay. Thank you, Lord.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for when I get home that Merle and I will have a good dinner together and have a good conversation, Lord, and that through everything that you're doing in our lives, that you first and foremost draw us closer to you, Lord, that we can come closer to each other, Lord, and that you be that cord that, like your word says, threefold cord cannot easily be broken. Well, as far as I'm concerned, a threefold cord cannot be broken. And Lord, you're that third one that keeps us together, Lord. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord.
Amen. We believe with it. Thank you, Father, for bringing them up closer. In Jesus' name. All right, we believe it.
Okay, love y'all. Bless y'all. I gotta get going. I got some stuff I gotta do before tomorrow morning.
All right. Have a good trip.
Thanks. Bless you.
Good night.
Night. Bye-bye.
Okay, now we can talk about her. No. She's had a real good visit, and that's good. All right. All right. Anybody else need prayer? You need to pray about something? Yeah, Pat, go ahead, brother.
Yeah. I'm asking for prayer for my son, Charlie. A few days ago, I think I asked for prayer last week as well. The Lord is working in his heart, and a few days ago, he was down in Philadelphia with a couple friends, and he was carjacked, and evidently the as they pulled into a parking lot or something and shut the car off, and a couple guys ran right up to the car. They had guns pulled, and they pointed them at him and told him to get out of the car, look down, don't look at anything. And so they all got out of the car, and I believe my wife said that the guy stuck the gun right there at his neck. And so he was, pretty shaken up at the time. And so they got out of the car, and they stole the car, and it's been gone, etc. So he came over to our house last night. He was able to borrow a car from a friend so he could make it to work for the next few days. And then, of course, he's talked with the insurance company and whatnot, and they're handling, renting a car and all that sort of, all the practical aspects of that sort of thing. But as I was praying about it this morning, I was thinking, in specific to the protection that was around him. And so tonight, before I came to work, I got a chance to talk with him, and I asked him, I said, because a few, a week or so ago, he asked me, that he needed some counseling, and, he was, he evidently has been going to a psychiatrist, and they had prescribed drugs for him or something for anxiety or whatever. I'm not sure. I didn't get into the specifics, but I was thinking about that as far as and so anyways, I was talking with him today about his experience, and I asked him the first thing I talked with him about was the psychologist or psychiatrist or whatever it is that he was seeing, and hasn't been to him for quite a while, basically, because he's been broke and I couldn't afford it. And he's said that, his life is basically deteriorating and going down the tubes ever since then. And so I was able just to talk a little bit about the fact that a psychiatrist, just based upon the definition of the word, they deal with the mind or the psyche, which is basically the soul. And I said that they are able to identify certain habits or certain issues that are related to thinking and attitudes and that sort of thing, which create issues and problems in your life. But I said, as far as the cause and effect, they, for the most part, are negligent or ignorant of the spiritual aspects of our life. And the fact of the matter is that God created us as spirit, soul, and body, created us as spiritual beings, and gave us a soul in order to interface with this body. And that if you want lasting results of any kind of counseling, you have to start with the spiritual level. And so we got in a little bit of a conversation related to that, but and the need to basically, I talked to him about the fact that the Lord has got his finger on him and is trying to get his attention through this process and this what's happening in his life here. And so I don't remember exactly all I was talking about, but I asked him if he is aware of what prevented that individual that held him up at gunpoint, what prevented him from simply blowing his brains out and taking his car and, you know, taking off down the road. And he said, well, I did, because I submitted to him. I said, you know, I don't want any problems. I'm going to have everything, you know, you want, you know, take what you want, etc. I said, well, yes, that probably had an effect. That was a good thing to do. You simply don't want to, if somebody's holding a gun at your neck, you don't want to be arguing with the guy, for sure. But what was it? What was happening in that person's mind that was holding that gun that restricted him or prevented him from pulling that trigger or simply blowing you away? And I said, that is the area of the spiritual realm that God deals in. And so I directed him to look, go get a Bible and read Job, the first two chapters of Job, and you will see the effect that God and God's word has over the spiritual realm and how that spiritual realm is over your life, etc. So at the outset of the conversation, I asked him if he wanted me to pray in specific for him for what he needed or he was looking for or he needed. And he is needing a direction. He's needing direction. He's needing peace. And he's needing, obviously some of the other things he needs, wants a good job and wants, you know, to make money and, you know, all those sort of things. But I think on the spiritual level, he needs to be a Christian. He needs to know God. And I explained that in a few ways, that, Jesus stood up in the temple, basically, at a point in his life, and he said that all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, come to me, take my yoke upon you, and learn upon of me, and you'll find rest unto your souls. And I said that, you know, well, I don't want to get into exactly what I said or whatever. It's not as important as the fact that he asked me to pray for him, and I prayed in specific for God to not only to hedge around him and to guide him to himself, but also that pray that there would be light in his understanding and that he would be drawn. He would see the reality of God. He would know and be drawn to Jesus and his word for that spiritual need that he has in his life. So I'm also, he told me that he was going to meet a friend of his, had invited him to go to some sort of a spiritual healing type of thing, whatever that means. It sounds to me like more of a, I don't know what it means, and I don't really care. I just said, prayed against it. I prayed that the Lord would put a hedge around Charlie. Charlie is his name, and I pray that the Lord would put a hedge around him and box him in and direct him through the Holy Spirit to find Jesus through this whole process. And was able to talk to him about the way and the truth and the life that is in Christ, and that God has created us to seek him. He did mention something about some of these, you know, religious leaders of today and that are, you know, wealthy and, you know, millionaires and living in their jets and, you know, seven houses and this and that. And I said, well, you know, the Lord, God doesn't tell us in his word to repent, change, and join a church or go seek out a church. That's why he says, come to me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden. That's what he wants you to find him, find that relationship with him in order to, and then he will show you the way that and the steps that you need to go. So anyway, I just, I'm really just like everybody to agree with me for his salvation, and that God would just open up his eyes and grant him repentance. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord, for the things that you're doing in Charlie. And Lord, I just pray that you would open up his eyes, you give him direction, that you would open up his eyes and draw him to you, Lord. Has his issues and sin, just like everyone of us in this world came to you out of sin and out of darkness. And Lord, I pray that you would shine your light in his heart and give him the light of life, open up his word, his eyes to your word. I pray that you would shield him, protect him, surround him with your Holy Spirit, and protect him from any kind of interference that the devil would try to throw on him related to this meeting or this healing service or healing thing that's they're talking about going to tomorrow. Lord, if it has nothing to do, and I suspect it does, has nothing to do with you, I just pray against it right now in the name of Jesus. I bind any spirit that would try to influence and infect or attach itself to him, and I forbid it in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, that by my believing that he is sanctified, that process of sanctification, or that he is sanctified and separated by my believing according to your word, and I thank you for that. So, Lord, I just ask you to continue your work in his heart, direct him, scatter the darkness, open up his eyes to your truth, lead him through your Holy Spirit, and I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we hook our faith up with Pat, and we believe it too, Lord. We believe that you're... the Lord of the harvest is sending somebody to go around to him that he'll listen to. Father, we thank you for that. We do. We We pray that hedge of protection around Charlie. That when he goes, it sounds like a new age thing, maybe. But when he goes, that if he goes, I don't believe you're even going to let him go. And I believe it, Lord. I'm just going to pray that you're not even going to let him go. Close those doors, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing a mighty work in Charlie, in Jesus' name. Now, how old is this boy?
Probably 30.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Lord, for doing your work in Charlie. Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Okay. Anybody else? Anything else, Pat? Is that all?
That's it for now.
Okay. All right. All right. Anyone else? Hey, Matt. Hey, Barbara. Hey, Lenny. Hey, Tim. Go ahead, Marilyn. Hi, Judy.
Speak up.
Hi, Sue.
I wanted to pray for Charlie as well. Father, we just bind up all the powers of the satanic force that have been coming against him, trying to undermine his faith and the foundation that he was raised in. We bind up all the spirits of doubt, fear, unbelief, anxiety, and worry. And I bind up that spirit of post-traumatic stress disorder that is trying to come on him because of this situation that he was just in. We command that thing. You're not getting a stronghold on Charlie. And Father, we thank you that you love Charlie, that you protected him, and you're going to give him a revelation of that. That you're just going to make it really clear to him that you really, really love him. We bind up any spirits of rejection there, and spirits of rebellion and stubbornness. We bind those up in Jesus' name. And Father, we retain an outpouring of grace and goodness upon Charlie to and pour out a spirit of repentance upon him. Mm-hmm. Let the Holy Spirit come on him in such a mighty way. Just hit him like a wave of your glory and your love and your grace, and enlighten the eyes of his understanding that he's going to repent. He's going to repent and believe. And Lord, that, you know, all this, you know, healing, meeting and all that kind of stuff, if he's around any of that stuff, exposed to it at all, Lord, it's just going to give him the creeps. He's just going to get real uncomfortable and just won't be able to, you know, can't wait to get away from it. Because, Lord, the Holy Spirit's there with him and going to give him discernment, whether he realizes it or not. And Lord, we thank you that by faith we believe that Charlie is called and chosen and faithful. And Lord, we thank you and praise you that for the things that he's been going through, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning him, and you're working it all together for good. And you've heard Pat's prayers. He and his wife have been faithful to pray for Charlie, and you're doing a good work there, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you. Thank you and praise you for what you're doing here in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Yes, we do. We believe in Mary, Dan, Pat, and everybody else. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? What about a testimony or a praise report? Yeah, Judy. iPad Judy. Go for it, girl.
Okay. I was gone in Indiana for 3.5 weeks,
And I just wanted to tell of one thing that that happened. I got these gold Bibles for my two aunts. I have an aunt that was going to be 90 when I was down there. Another one that's 93, going to be 94. But their eyes are kind of going, so I thought a gold Bible would really be neat for them. Well, the one I had a Bible for, but the other one I had to order one. So I ordered one, and it came in Japanese. And I thought, oh, great. What am I going to do with the Japanese? So I was trying to figure out how to send it back.
I don't think she's got enough time to learn Japanese.
Yeah, I thought, I'm not going to do that. So I thought, oh, this is really great. So I ordered another one, and I had to get it in 3 days. The lady promised it in 4 days, but I said, no, I got to have it in 3 days. And she got it to me in 3 days. I thought that was really awesome. But anyhow, this Japanese one, I tried to send it back, but I couldn't get the label printed off, and I tried, so I thought, oh, well, forget it. I'm going to take it back to Tennessee and print it there. Well, the Lord kind of put it on my mind that, who do I know that's a Japanese? Well, I've got a girl that I knew that went to college in our town, and I'm still corresponding with her. Her name's Shiho Sato, and I still correspond with her, and I thought the Lord was saying, well, why don't you send that Japanese Bible to her? So I called her the other day, and she said, okay, I'll take it. You know, I don't know how much of God she knows, but the Bible would definitely be good for her to know. And she does have a Christian friend, so if she has any questions, she could probably ask her questions. So I'm getting it ready now to send to her. I just thought that was kind of cool. Of all the countries, I don't know anybody in any other language except Japanese. And then they send me a Japanese. So I thought that was pretty cool, Lord. So anyhow, I just wanted to mention that.
Amen. Amen. Well, Lord, we just anoint that gold Bible that when, what's her name, listens to it, that's going to capture her interest. And we thank you, Lord, that's going to bring her into the kingdom in a mighty way. In Jesus' name. Thank you for your anointing upon that Japanese gold Bible. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right, anybody else? Has anybody got a subject for tonight?
Well, you kind of touched on it a little bit, and so did we a little bit. Saturday night, Lowell. We were talking about, we were kind of getting into a little bit about the overcomers. We were getting into just a little bit about where the Lord's going to draw the line in people's lives where we're on the fence, you know, and about what it takes to be coming into the kingdom now and what he's going to be looking for. Not that we're trying to find the lowest point to be in, but, you know, looking for that place where people have to be coming into now for the kingdom, because this is what's going to be, we're going to be looking at here shortly, because we have the bride, and then we have the rest of the church, so people are going to be wanting to know. They're going to be running after the Lord, and we're going to have to kind of help give them a little guidance. They're going to be somewhat a little. So it's not like we want to say, oh, this is all you need to know, but it's like we also want to be able to say, well, we'll give them direction about, hey, where are we going to go this? Where are we going to take this? What's the Lord looking for in your life? What it is you need to start doing and getting prepared? Because there'll be more and more people that are going to have more in tune to this as time goes on, especially when the times start dramatically changing in our world, you know, and things start turning really south, and they start looking for answers. We can give them the short answer, but we all at the same time, we have to give them the path where they have to stay on to continue. So I'm kind of thinking that we have to have a really good direction on that ourselves. You know, that just the thought. I don't know if that's anybody else has been thinking that way at all. Andrew is here. I don't see him. Andrew, we kind of started talking about that a little bit Saturday.
Everything you just said, all has to be put into prayer.
Yeah.
It was almost like a to-do list and a need list. And that was just great. Yeah. If only you can re-say it all in a prayer. From the very start, when you started, actually, it was all like what we all need to have, I think.
Absolutely. You're great. You're right. It is a prayer. It is a first and foremost a prayer.
But actually, when I was listening, I was thinking, I was just thinking, Lord, this all sounds like a request that we need to ask for, and to pursue, and to even study on a little bit.
So what do you think, Mike?
Yeah, I'll go for it. Well, let's take it a step at a time here. We've got, I'm not really understanding the question, but bear with me here just a minute. Are you asking what it's going to take for us to make it through the tribulation? Or are you asking about the bride and the man-child ministry, what it's going to take to get into those, or what exactly are we talking about here, me being the devil's advocate here? No, I ain't no devil's advocate. I'm an angel advocate. Just so I can be clear in my mind.
I think we're trying to get a feel more about we're all particularly here trying to strive to become closer and get into the image of Jesus anyways. And however fast that's going for us, you know, some of us are striving more than others just because of the maturity level. But we're also looking at, there's going to be a time when others are going to be coming to this kingdom also. And right now, there's a lot of people in Christianity that aren't striving this hard to come in the image of Jesus because they don't know the great need and necessity of it, I think. They haven't been told the full story of what's going to be happening and what the Lord's looking for. And it's not like we're trying to give them the short list of, hey, this is all you got to do, this, and you're in, you know, got the ticket punched idea. But at the same time, we should be not only preparing ourselves, but also having in our mind what it is we're going to be able to help others to do and prepare, and with the Lord's help, natural, of course, to be able to be there at that time to help others get prepared and to come into the kingdom that the way the Lord wants it. Because that's what the whole purpose of this end time scenario is about. It's about separating God's people from the world. And I realize this might be the ministry of the man child, but at the same time, this will be somewhat of the ministry of the bride working with the little sister and getting her prepared to come into the kingdom. And because that's what the Lord wants. He wants to clean us up and get us prepared to come into this kingdom. That's what this tribulation period is about. It's about cleaning up his bride, cleaning up the church. Well, we need to have an understanding also of where we're going to help out, what our job is in helping others get prepared and get ready for this, to coming into the kingdom. And what's our ministry? They have a clear picture of where we're involved in this, maybe. Not that I can, I can't take this and put words into it, because I know this is a lot what the Lord's going to have us do individually anyways when that time comes. But maybe now's a time to start preparing for these things also and thinking about it and working with this scenario that's coming up, you know, and what it is we have a clearer picture where we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to be thinking about, what we're supposed to be praying about, what we're supposed to be understanding about what it is that God requires for people to come into kingdom. What is it that they need to have done in their life? Not that they're doing the work, but what it is we're depending upon God to do the work in us for, and what we're trying to cooperate with God to do. So I don't know if that tells you maybe more of an idea of what we're trying to discuss, what we're trying to do scripturally, you know.
What we might do is take it on an individual level rather than a group level, and maybe define what it is to be a mature Christian. And of course, we've got all kinds of scriptures for that. We can start right there. First of all, what does it take to come into the kingdom? And we'll start there, and then we'll progress, if you want to, on to what it takes to get into heaven. And on. That's, you know, that's something that, because we each individually have to seek out our own salvation with fear and trembling, and we have to understand what it is, to what our salvation is all about, before we can help anybody else. So maybe that's where we ought to go. That's just one thing there. Anybody else got something better? Go for it. What do you think, Leon? He's still deep in thought. Anybody got anything they'd like to add? Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
Well, when Dave was talking about that, I was thinking, number one, I was thinking a couple things, that there's going to be when the harvest is ready, when the people are coming in, I think, it's going to be as a result of a certain amount of destruction of the old places of refuge, shall we say, the church, the structures that we have been confidently rested in and spent many years sitting in pews and various different things like that. So as far as the church goes, there's going to be a destruction of that confidence in that entity or that structure, which is going to create an environment of need that is going to remove a lot of the natural resistance that we find in the church today. I believe that there's going to be kind of an onslaught of need out there, which is going to be, I won't say easy to address, but I believe it's going to be a little more, you won't be having to fight an internal battle in an individual, whether or not they're going to receive what you're saying. I think hearts are going to be open to receive as much as possible. So there's going to be an environment change. The other thing I was thinking when Dave was saying that is that people are too complicated to. I know that when I was coming up in the church, they had various different like Romans roads and the John Road and the various other different roads that I never learned, unfortunately. Maybe I should have learned them, but I didn't. I thought it was a little bit, I won't say stupid, but it kind of carved, it eliminated the Holy Spirit out of this, and you just open up the book and you lead them down, people down a certain path, and then of course we get at the end and you repent and you step across the line, voila, you're in. So I think that, I guess what,
well, let me just interrupt you if I might. You've hit on something there. Now let's go ahead. What is the answer? What's the answer? It ain't a Roman road. What is the answer? That's what we need to get to right quick.
I think the point I was getting to is that there's going to be a need for us as individuals to be sensitive to the guidance and the voice of the Holy Spirit, to follow the Holy Spirit in leading us into what that person is needing, and trusting that God is going to do with that person through us living that life of ministering to that individual, wherever they're at, or that those individuals, whatever they would be. Because again, I was saying, it's much too complicated to, in my opinion, to put down a certain thing as to what we need them to see or what we need them to do. But I think there have to be a dependence upon the Holy Spirit to guide us through each individual situation. However, on the other hand, I think we need to realize, that there are certain things that have to be hit. You know, repentance, self-awareness, repentance, sin, at what level those things come into play, and, you know, where do you start with an individual? Certain things, again, I knew that there were certain things that I couldn't have been told right off the bat. When I first came into the kingdom, I mean, I don't know what it would have done type of thing, but I know that there were certain things that the Lord led me to, more of a desire to know him and to find the reality of God in my life. And it was, quite frankly, it was a little bit after that process had taken place that I started learning about the inner sin and the inner conflicts within my own life. It took a little bit longer to dig those things up, but it was that initial response and reaction and desire to come to God and to make contact with him.
No, that's what we're talking about right here. People that want to come into the kingdom, they've seen all this destruction out there, and they're running to you and they're saying, what do I need to do? Now, what do we tell them? The initial response is just like you said, repent and believe. Well, what does repent mean? And then you explain what repent is. This is the way to be a Christian. And what's this based on? It's based on faith. The whole Christian walk is based on faith and acting on that faith. So I just wanted to step in there. And it's not we're going out there to minister to lost people that don't want God. These are people that are coming in. They want God. They've already seen the other, and they're wanting God. That's what we're fixing to see. We're fixing to see people running to Jesus, but they don't know what to do. And that's what we're going to be trying to explain to them. And one thing that you said, I believe it was you said that, it's going to have to be by the Holy Spirit. And when you say by the Holy Spirit, we're going to have to be prayed up, folks. We're going to have to be prayed up. We're going to have to ask the Lord to fill us up with the Holy Spirit and to guide us and to give us the wisdom to talk to these people, because just like Pat said, ain't everybody alike. That's not everybody alike. Go ahead, Dave. I'm sorry, Pat. I just had to throw it in there. It's about to bust my head open.
Well, they're also going to be coming to us looking for an example.
Yep.
For God, not just for words, but for Paul, when he talks about coming in preaching, he says he didn't come with excellency of speech and knowledge. He came with power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Well, our initial example is Jesus. And most of the time, Jesus went out there and prayed, didn't he?
And Jesus said in John 6:29, when they asked him, what is the work that we must do to the works of God? He said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him who he had sent. And we start telling them about Jesus and who he sent and who Jesus is, what he is to us and what he's done. But then we start explaining that now he's living in us and through us. And we need to also be there. We need to be there in our lives that he's actually walking in us and through us and demonstrating that, just like Paul was able to demonstrate. So just before even we started this conversation, the Lord brings me up to Haggai 1:7. This is what the Lord of hosts says. Consider your ways. Consider your ways. Because that your ways are going to make this difference in the kingdom and helping others too. Because this Haggai in the first chapter is talking about building the house of God. So we have to be there. We have to be prepared. We're going to be the master builders, just like Paul was. And Paul demonstrated it with the power of God. And the Spirit of the Lord. He was there with both. So not that I say, this is where we know we need to go. I'm just saying. I'm just part of that. It's part of the ministry too. Because we can explain a lot, but you know, there's a lot of people talking. How are we going to differentiate what we have to say from somebody else? Because we're going to have the power and the Holy Spirit with us. And we're going to have to be on target and considering our ways and be there. We have to be there. We have to continue to push forward ourselves.
And that's enduring in your faith. You have to endure in your faith to the end. And that's something that we will have to tell them. You know, it's not that, like Pat was talking about, you got your ticket punched and that's it. It might have been you, Dave. I don't remember, but anyway, that's not the gospel. The gospel is enduring in your faith to the end and bearing fruit. Go ahead, Leah.
Well, I was just going to say that 9/11 and the destruction of the tower was a perfect example of what you're talking about, because people in mass started going to church, but the church had nothing for them. They had the same old, and there was no power in it. The power is what you're talking about, Dave. There was no power there, and there was no example that brought people to Christ, so they started drifting away again. So, a few of them may have stayed, so a few of them may have found some kind of solace, but I don't know that, but the group as a whole just drifted away again. So without that power of the Holy Spirit, you're never going to be able to minister properly. So I agree with that statement. And also I'd like to say, when I got saved, I was in a church that used that Romans Road, you know, and I did that for several years. But it had some good effects, but it really didn't have, again, it didn't have any power behind it. So it's better just to go with the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Okay.
After.
That's good. Yeah, that's a good. That's a good example. Is that 911 deal? There's a lot of folks went to church, but they fell off because they didn't have anything to keep them there. They didn't have any meat to keep them there. Any kind of nothing. They didn't have nothing. All they had was a guy wanting to pass a plate every two or three times. You know. Okay. Anybody else? The people that come to us in the near future, they're gonna have the fear of God all over. Yeah, Leo. Yeah, go ahead, Leo. Go ahead, Leo.
Okay. If I could ever get this thing to work right on one click, I'd be fine. Anyway, I was also gonna mention that about 3 years ago, David mentioned that there's a bunch of lost people roaming around right now that are part of the elect. They're already part of the elect, but they're roaming around unsaved. And he suggested that we pray for them, and I've been basically... Every time I pray for them, you know, on a daily basis, basically. And I pray for them that they find the Lord, that the Lord sends somebody to reveal the truth to them. So, I mean, I can't reach anybody I don't come in contact with, but the Lord's got to send somebody to reach them, somebody that has the truth, and not the Romans road, but the truth. And they're out there right now, but the laborers are few. The field is ready for harvest right now, but the laborers are few. And if we don't, I'm saying us here in this group, if we don't meet with these people, and they'll come in contact with us, but if we don't meet them, who's going to preach the gospel to them, you know?
Yeah, if God sends you, you better go, because if he don't send you, he'll pick somebody else to send me. That's why we always have to be, like y'all were talking about earlier, we always have to be Holy Spirit discerning all the time. Go ahead, Pat. Thank you, dear.
I was thinking... about another, it was in Corinthians 12:28, 1 Corinthians, it says, and God, well, wait a minute. Now ye are the body of Christ and severally members thereof, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondly, prophets, thirdly, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, kinds of tongues. And then he goes on and he, you know, explains, are all, you know, apostles, are all prophets, do all workers and miracles. So I think to a certain degree, not only the need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and leaning on his guidance, but also trusting that God has placed in the body the ability to address all of the situations that are going to come our way, whether it be in, let's just say, if I don't have the resources, I know that there's a group, there's a body that has the resources somewhere, you know. So that would be one thing. I guess one thing I was thinking of today, and I don't know if this fits more into the building blocks, but it was something I kind of recognized even today as I was talking, and that is the importance, I think, or the significance of of gaining consent to pray or to interact with an individual. I know that what we're talking about is that people are, you know, there's going to be an onslaught of people coming in type of thing, but there are certain, I think certain things in our, in dealing with us as individuals that we have to willingly consent to receive help or to take help, or there's a willingness that's got to happen there, or so I don't know what exactly what I'm saying there, but maybe it's more of a building block of being able to gain consent with individuals in order to minister that help. Does that kind of ring anybody's bells?
So say that again. How,
step by step.
Okay.
I'm just kidding, Pat.
Say it again.
I was listening and I just kind of got, you know,
spaced out. Believe me, when I start talking, that happens to a lot of people. I guess I was thinking.
I didn't get the gist of where you were taking it, I guess.
Well, when we were talking about the building blocks, or, you know, where do you take people?
Okay.
And one of the things I believe is fits in with that category somehow, and that is the obtaining the willing consent of the individual to minister to them, so that you have their consent or willingness to receive help. Does that sound right?
Right. I think right because now we're at that point where we're having to find people that want to listen. If they want to listen, they're going to hear us. If they don't, whether or not one of the Bible passages stay in my head is, "That is of God, hears the word of God." I mean, that's going to be a defining moment. It doesn't necessarily mean just because what you say right now that they will want to receive it, but it does mean if that person's from God, they are going to hear the word of God. And otherwise, they're not. It's going to be a closed book. It's never going to go anywhere, period. And it doesn't matter when it happens, that person's book is closed. But if somebody's of God, they're going to hear the word of God. Just like those disciples were asking, what must we do? Through the works of God. They said, believe, Jesus said, to believe on him who he had sent. So we know that the person that is going to be tuned in for God, the called, is going to hear the words of God. I think we're going to have a little more than just people called when things start changing. Like you said, there's going to be a motivated group of people out there to want to know what is it that we must do in order to get on God's good favor, because we're starting to see bad things happen. We know the people of God are going to realize this is from God. They're going to be looking for God. And they're going to have an ear open for what God has to say. And there's going to be those that will never hear it. And that's basically what God's going to be doing, is setting up that atmosphere for you either going to run to the kingdom now or you're going to run away from the kingdom. He's going to allow that atmosphere to come. And that running to the kingdom is running for Jesus, running for more of God, running for what it is they need to know that God desires from them, and they know that they need to get in their heart and be right with God. At that point, that's where we come in, and that's where our fulfilling of the our part in the kingdom is going to be while we're here, is helping those people address those needs and concerns and understanding to get them, like where when you were talking about our all apostles or all prophets, that gets us back in Philippians chapter 4, where it talks about apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and I always, there's five. And anyways, that and the body of Christ comes together to pull everybody so everybody can come up together and be as Christ and be built up as one body as Christ. That's our job, is to help all become in the body. It doesn't mean we all are the same. That doesn't mean everybody's an apostle, everybody's a prophet, everybody's a teacher, everybody's an evangelist or whatever. But it means that we come in the body of Christ. It means we help address those concerns and get them to be part of the body of Christ. That's where we're going to come in and help others. And all because they're going to see us as being in the body, and we're going to know we're in the body, but we're also going to be demonstrating that body by with the power, with the Holy Spirit, how he chooses to demonstrate through us. I'm not sure if that's talking about what you're talking about a little bit. Right now we're talking about, are they going to hear the word of God or not? Are we going to get past that flesh or not? We talked about that with a little bit of Joe Britt. Oh, well, you know, if doesn't do much good for that snake charmer, charming that snake in the right?
What was that? Hello.
So you got to get past the flesh still on some people. So you're charming that snake with some still. And we're all trying to work with maybe different religions, trying to charm that snake without trying to get bit or turning them off. But there's going to be a point where I think that's going to be not going to be the case so much anymore. We're trying to charm the snake is we're trying to get them on board and becoming in the body of Christ. That's where we need to understand how to help get them in the body and be part of that body, the bride, or the whole church.
Good night. Go ahead, George.
Yeah, I was just looking up again, talking about the Jesus being the author of eternal salvation, named of God, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And I've always thought about how David made mention that an order is many priests. It's not just one or two priests that we're supposed to follow into that order of Melchizedek ourselves. And that it talks about, you know, people who should be teachers by now still need the milk of the word, and that everyone that partakes of milk is without experience of the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for full-grown men, even those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. And I was thinking how, by putting that word to work, by being doers of the word, not hearers only, we are reaching that full-grown status. We are exercising our senses, and that's how we're going to help these babes in Christ, is to go out and, you know, I've always found freedom in a little saying that says, signs and wonders follow me, I don't follow them, you know. And when we preach the truth, that God will confirm the truth with signs and wonders. And if we get a reputation for being a person that has bold faith to obey and lay hands on the sick and they shall recover and raise the dead and just do the stuff, that when calamity happens or whatever pressure in the world, finally the veil is removed and people see evil for what it is, and are there's grace for the truth to be received, then as we preach the cross and as we preach Christ, God is going to confirm it, and people are going to have those signs and wonders that point towards true Christianity and not all of this whatever it is out there, the institutional stuff. So I just encourage everybody to be obedient, to be that person of peace, that when the world can't find peace, they will remember who in the community is a person of peace that can impart peace and that knows the Prince of Peace. And I know myself, there's seasons on my campus where I work where if somebody's in a jam with a physical ailment or cancer or anything, they'll let me lay hands. They'll send people to me to let me pray for them, or I'll get the opportunity. God will set it up so that I'll just obey. And I have to believe that God is, you know, some of them I hear good reports on, some of them just instant miracles. And then some of them, I just have to believe when they go away, they are being healed. And that is that setup. That's that relationship where you're holding down your part of the kingdom in whatever location God has got you in, and he's refining you in the meantime and doing all the things that he has to do. And you know, again, I just encourage everybody to be obedient and be patient, but also don't be surprised when demons start being ejected out of people and miracles and healings and impartation and just an overshadowing of the Holy Spirit affects people and brings them clarity so that they can receive the truth and be our brothers and sisters, and their gifts are going to come forth and we can encourage them and their gifts, and all the missing parts that we don't have are going to be put, are going to be hooked right up to us, and it's going to be a powerful body ministry. And like I said, that order of Melchizedek is what I'm looking for. I may not understand it very well, but I, you know, maybe I'm totally off, but you guys can correct me and I'll receive it. Love y'all.
Amen. No, that was good. That's exactly it. That's the Melchizedek priesthood. That's the one Jesus, Lord said Jesus was. He was of the order of Melchizedek. And that's the one of faith. That's the one of faith. And you're right, the signs and wonders are going to go on to you. Now, here's another one. Here's another thing that we should always do is stay in the Word. Get that. The more words you get into you and into us, the more confident you're going to be able to minister to these people. Because the more words you have in us, that's the more Jesus that you have in you. Your spirit life is going to be leading you. So get that word in you, get it all down in there. Don't worry about remembering what it is, where it is, or how it is. You don't have to memorize it. Lord said he'll bring it to your remembrance when the time comes. So, but we do need to get that down in us. We do need to understand the word of God. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, I was just going to say, I think that also George hit on a really good point there, and it was something to keep in mind, because we've seen where Paul talked about when he was talking about Corinthians, about how when he was preaching the word that the signs and wonders followed, and that's what George was saying. He says, don't follow the signs and wonders as much as the sign and wonders will follow with the word and the truth being preached. So that will be the Holy Spirit putting his finger on it and showing his power and approval then. So it's not like we're trying to make the sign and wonders happen. The Holy Spirit's going to make them happen. That's very good. That's kind of how I see the way the ministry worked very well in the New Testament. It was a sign and wonders followed behind what they were doing.
Amen. What do you think, Andrew?
You're scaring me now.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to scare you.
This verse that
we command that timidity off of him right now in the name of Jesus. Go ahead, Andrew.
No, I was just looking at this verse and I was just wondering, oh man, I should bring this verse in right now. And then you asked me. And so it's in, I'm going to do that. So I'm just going to go with these few verses here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. For we who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus. that our life also of Jesus be manifested in our mortal flesh, so that death worketh in us, but life in you. And this is Paul addressing the people as to what's going on here with him, and this is a ministration. He's ministering to them here on this. But this next verse is really cool too. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I speak. We also believe, therefore also we speak. And it goes on to knowing that who raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also with Jesus and shall present us with you. So I think it's pretty cool because you can only get to that raised up place that you want to be used by the Lord for all of this too, you know. This spirit of faith, you know, is a verse I've been looking at for quite a while here, and I attached some other verses there to it because, you know, we always look at that Romans 10:10, and confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. But that one goes good with that one. This 13th verse here in 2 Corinthians 4, and I was just looking at this today, and of course there's Luke 1:37. For no word of God shall be void of power, you know. And of course, you know, you can throw in the Ephesians 5:26 there, where it says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by his word. And you know, these faith-based items, because it's talking about the spirit of faith here. And according to how you believe, and it's according to what is written, I believe, you know, therefore I speak, you know, no word of God shall be void of power. And he cleanses you with this word too, you know. So it's all in the hands of the Lord. And it's like, I think it says in the first chapter of Sovereign God, what he blesses you with, you bless him back with. And it would be same for ministering to anyone. If he ministered to you and blessed you with something, a healing or whatever, a provision, a deliverance, then that's what you do. And of course, it's all, I like to say, choreographed or by the Lord. And but this word part here, this spirit of faith, you know, I don't know how many places in the Bible where it has spirit of faith, you know, but it wasn't that long ago that I wrote a small paper on the comforter, because we may have had a lesson, or maybe there was a Bible study on this. And it was partially mentioned, and you know, it was a lot of looking at it here now, a lot of verses from John, and of course the one Michael just mentioned was John 14:26, where he sends the Comforter in his name. Going to teach you all things and remind you of everything he taught you too. So you got to be filled with that Holy Spirit. And that verse in there shows discipleship, you know. Remind you, because you're going to be doing it. I don't know what I'm saying. So praise God.
Well, according to what I just did in Esau, I did a search on spirit of faith. There's only one instance of that. So there you have it. straight for me. So now whether that's true or not, I don't know. That's what I'm just.
That's the exact phrase, though.
Spirit of faith.
Is what you're looking at, isn't it, Michael?
Yep.
But they have another place there of faith of the spirit of the.
Okay.
Of faith of the Holy Spirit. And so there's other indications of.
Okay. I just did an exact deal. I didn't do one. Gives me close. I don't know how to do that. Okay. Hey, Tim, you had your hand raised a while ago. Did you want to set us straight, I hope?
Yeah. Well, when I'd raised my hand, Dave was talking, and he covered pretty much everything that I was going to bring up. But subsequent to that, there's a couple of things that occurred to me and what we need to do for drawing in people that are looking, you know, and as things start falling apart. And it's going to be, they're going to recognize, the called are going to recognize our faith, and they're going to see that we've got something that the world doesn't have. And whether we're, you know, even if miracles aren't really accompanying us at that point, they're going to see that we've got the faith to believe and to endure. And so they're going to have to, the non-called are going to be running back to Egypt or following, you know, people that have faith and disasters, or that they think they can save themselves. And the people that have faith are going to stand out like a sore thumb, really, in this society, and people are going to be drawn to them. And it's going to separate the called from the rest of the people, I think, real quickly, is that they're going to be following the people that have faith. They're going to try and emulate that faith. And part of that faith that we're going to have to, you know, really instill in them is that enduring till the end. You know, I was thinking about the wedding feast and all those that were bidden that had something else happening. They couldn't quite make it, you know, here's the end. And no, I got something else more important. So, that was pretty much what was on my mind, is that faith works both ways. It's there's faith in believing, and there's a evil faith of unbelief. So we talk about that on Wednesday meetings too, you know. That seems to fit right in with this.
Yes, it does. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, buddy.
Well, excuse me. That kind of reminds me of, you were talking basically about those coming to the wedding feast. And the bride, which David says, and we've heard, is the one that sends out the invitations. And the invitation is putting on the wedding garment, essentially. Well, we're here not only to invite them to the wedding feast, but we're also here to encourage them to put on that wedding garment and understand what that wedding garment is they're putting on. I was just thinking that.
Yeah, we got to let them know that it's a progressive salvation. It's not something that a lot of people, you know, there's two types of Christians, aren't there? There's the called and the chosen. David talks about a lot. There's the carnal Christian, and then there's the chosen. Got a lot of carnal Christians out there that are going to come to be, that are going to come into being a chosen Christian, but some of them aren't. All right, anybody else?
Another parable that was coming to my mind was earlier on. The discussion was workers that were hired during the day and all getting the same reward, you know, even the ones at the 11th hour. There's going to be a lot of people that are, you know, going to make the cut that didn't really do much. That Lord wants them, and he's going to work on them in the very last, even on their deathbeds or whatever, or, you know, just as things are completely falling apart around them, they're going to be saved. And so it's a lot, has to do with what God wants and what he has us do, but it's not necessarily what we're going to be doing. It's what he does through us.
That's it. And our prayers is going to save a lot of people. That last minute stuff, you know, and getting paid the same, you know, that's awesome to me. There's going to be a lot of people that we've been praying for that are going to hit it, going to get it on their deathbed. And that's awesome because they'll be up there when we get there. Go ahead, George. Little Georgia wisdom here. Go for it.
Oh, my goodness. Let's don't get none of that Georgia. Let's get some new Jerusalem wisdom. What he was just talking about reminded me of how before, like some of the last revivals, real revivals, sovereign moves of God, how they happened right before like the Civil War and different times where calamity took out a lot of people. But how many people got saved and found Christ before all these things happened and, you know, they're secured by the Lord. And I just, you know, it's been so long since we've had something where God just chose to, you know, move through a people like that. I guess is maybe I'm not seeing it or don't have access to what's going on, but seems like there's a big drought in that kind of revival. And I was thinking earlier about how Lester Sumrall saved one girl in the Philippines, got her delivered, and 150,000 people came to the Lord within a 6-week period of time. And I just kind of, we were talking about how these people are going to come to us and what's going to compel them, why are they going to want to listen. And I was thinking, you know, you get somebody that's really strung out on drugs, totally delivered, grandma, cousins, there's going to be people coming out of the woodwork. They're going to listen up and be like, there's a change in my boy. And we wrote him off. And then you got him, you're filling him up with the word. You know, there's going to be people coming around if we get the opportunity to see God move. So, you know, everybody's got a different call and a different way to get their job done with the Lord. And I'm hopeful and I'm very thankful for you all. That's all I got.
Amen. They're going to be, you said something there, George, the people in our families and the people that we've been praying for are going to be so grateful for your prayers when the time comes, when we get up there, you know, they're going to say, oh my goodness, thank you so much for praying for me and helping me to see the need of coming to Christ before I die. I've known of just a few people that died on their deathbed, you know, and that's awesome. I know of one man that was unconscious that came to the Lord because the Lord told me to go pray for him. I know that one. He's up there. I know of one we in the morning meetings that his wife called and said that her husband was dying. Looked like he didn't know what was going on. And we started praying for him that he came to Jesus before he died. Right there on the phone. Before he died, he came to Jesus. And that's another one. And it's, gosh, we're going to see that. We're going to see a lot of that. So we need to be ready. We are going to be ready. I believe it. I believe all of us are going to be ready when this great happening comes in. What'd you put up there, Pat? You want me to read it? Acts 26:17, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, Acts 28:18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Praise God. Amen. That's a good one. All right, anybody else? Anybody else? Come on now. We'll quit on me yet. We still got 15 minutes. Hey, let me ask you a question here, since we're kind of at a lull here. What is, I'm coming in from Arkansas. I'm just an old farm boy. Somebody tell me what the Shekinah glory is and where it is in the Bible. One at a time. I already know the answer, so it's a trick question. It's not a trick question, actually. It's not in the Bible, but the Hebrew word is in the Bible. The meaning of it is. So what is Shekinah glory as we understand it?
Isn't it the presence of the Holy Spirit?
It's the presence of God, yeah. It's the presence, the physical presence of God. It's a tangible presence of God. If you remember the stories about Azusa Street, they talked about the Shekinah glory coming in, and it was like a smoke. It come up, and it would eventually just fill up the whole room. And the babies, before it came up too high, underneath, they go in underneath the chairs and lay in that stuff and just be so peaceful, the babies would. But that as it rose, you know, a lot of things happen. The Shekinah glory, the fire coming out of the roof of that place down there, out there in California, Los Angeles. The fire coming out of the roof was the Shekinah glory, because the fire department would come down there and they'd see the fire, but wasn't nothing burning up, but the flesh of the people inside. That's all it was. What a God. Shekinah glory. Place of God's manifestation. How many of you want to experience that? Me too. I do too. I want to experience everything God has.
Michael, what's the Hebrew word that you're referring to?
Well, it's not a word. It's actually a phrase. It's in just a minute.
Referring to the Old Testament when Moses and the camp, within the camp there?
Yeah.
The tabernacle or the tent of meeting or whatever it was?
Let me get it here. Let me see. Checking out. No.
When it came down off the mountain, being in God's presence when he saw, when he said to the Lord, "Show me your glory, Lord." And he said, "You can see my hinder parts." That's a time when he came down off the mountain. He shined.
There's also in 2 Chronicles 5:14 and 1 Kings 8:11 talks about the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud for the glory of God.
The Shekinah glory is the Hebrew name given to the presence of God dwelling on the earth. The word does not actually appear in the Bible, but in Hebrew it can mean he caused to dwell. And it was the term given to a divine visitation of the Lord. A notable example of the Shekinah glory, of course, is the pillar of cloud by day and the fire by night. God of the Israelites. It's a visible manifestation of God in the natural world.
What were those two passages George gave? I was reading somebody said that.
Well, Genesis 18, 1 and 2 is some, is one. Now, he gave one in Chronicles.
Second Chronicles 5:14 and 1 Kings 8:11.
Mm-hmm. I have this thing. It's Zechariah 2:5. It says, "For I, says the Lord, will be to her a wall of fire around it, and I will be the glory in the midst of her." Second Zechariah 5. Zechariah 2:5.
Who was the what was the ultimate Shekinah glory? I figured you would, Mary. Go ahead.
Jesus.
There you go. Amen. Thank you, Lord. He was the ultimate Shekinah glory. Why? Because didn't Jesus tell us, "If you looked at me, you've seen the Father"? Ooh, glory of God.
I think that demands a little respect.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, my Father, I just praise you, Lord. Jesus, thank you for coming here. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the example. Thank you for giving us the new covenant. Thank you, Lord, for giving your life for us, that we might live your life, to walk this earth, Lord, like you did, so that other people could come into the kingdom by our example taken from you, Lord. You were a meek, humble, powerful, all-knowing, full of wisdom, full of the power of the Almighty God, and you defeated the devil for us. Father, we just praise you. Thank you for doing it, Father. You gave us the wherewithal to walk this overcoming life that you've gotten us in, that you've asked us to walk. And you do it in a way to where we don't have to exert anything but knowledge and faith, and then acting on that faith. It's so awesome, Lord. I know that our flesh a lot of times tries to get in our way, but you've given us the Holy Spirit to overcome that flesh. And the more of that Holy Spirit that we have, the more overcome, the more of an overcomer that we are, Lord. You're such an awesome God. We just praise you, Father, for all that you're doing and all that you're going to do. We ask for wisdom, hunger, and that overcoming power against the world and our flesh. Our flesh seems to be our biggest enemy, and Satan loves to use it against us. But Lord, you're a bigger power than he is. And we know that we can overcome because you're in us. And we ask right now, Lord, that you fill us up. Fill us up to such a degree, Lord, that there's nothing left in us but you. You fill us, there's no room for anything else but you, Father. We ask that in the name of Jesus for everyone here and everybody listening that wants to receive it. Lord, we just thank you for your overcoming power, and that when we do go out, you lead us and guide us to the people that you want us to talk to. And not only that, that when we do talk to them, Lord, that it's going to be with your tongue, and that wisdom is going to come out, and that they'll hear exactly what they need to hear to bring them to you, Father. I thank you for the signs and wonders that are going to follow your disciples. It's going to follow your people wherever they go. When you lead them into a place that the signs and wonders would follow, that people's lives would be changed, physical ailments would be sent out of there, deliverances would be had. And Father, we thank you for that. We just praise you, Lord, for making disciples out of all of us. And as David has so aptly put it in a lot of his Bible study, we are learners and followers of you, Jesus. We walk right at step in step behind you, Lord, because you're leading us and you're guiding us. And you've given us the Holy Spirit to teach us to be these overcomers, to be these disciples, these learners and followers that the people out there want to see, Lord, and give us the confidence and the boldness to preach the uncompromised Word of God. That's the only thing that would come out of us, is the uncompromised Word of God. And we praise you, Father, for backing it up with the signs and the wonders and the truth. Thank you, Lord, for this mighty, wonderful move of God that you're placing upon your people here shortly. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, Leah.
I just want to let everybody know that the mark that was on my knee was about 2 inches long, and now it's about a quarter inch.
So, well, praise the Lord. Yeah, signs and wonders. Signs and wonders are following. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Praise God. Well, you want to praise God and give him glory? And give us a prayer out of here? That'd be a good one.
You talking to me?
Yes, if you don't mind.
Not at all. Father God, we just praise your name, Lord. Thank you for this discussion that we had tonight. Thank you for the points that were brought out. Everybody contributed, and not everybody knew everything, but just like it's going to be, we knew enough to everybody contribute, and that's a good thing. So thank you, Lord, and I pray that you'd keep us safe until our next meeting on Thursday, and just bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless that baby, too.
Amen.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Can we do praise?